Hello, hello. Welcome to the Punt Intended podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy Basketball podcast and a Sports Ethos production. I'm your host, as always, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me at MacAttack145 on Twitter and my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. And I first have to apologize to you all. I said last week we would do G League prospects this episode, and I just got my schedules confused. I forgot that we were actually discussing some European prospects with a guest today. And who better to help with that than Andre Lemos of the European Hoops podcast. Andre, how are you doing today?
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to come here to chat. And as I let you continue, I just want to congratulate you for the job that you are doing, both on the written side and here with the podcast. You are a rising talent here at Sports Ethos, and it will be a pleasure to record a podcast with you.
Well, I very much appreciate that. I'm excited for all the work that we're going to output, especially with the upcoming draft. And on the topic of the draft, let's just dive right into it. The first player that we have to discuss, potential to be the number one pick, Nikola Topic, who is, you know, he's a guard out of Europe, has played for various teams, but mainly in that Serbia Adriatic Basketball League. He's a 6'6 guard, and he won't even be 19 when entering the draft. Draft age about little under 19, very young. The first thing we have to talk about him is his passing, and he's been touted as the best passer in this draft. Do you think that's fair? Is that overstating things a little bit, or is it underselling?
Well, he does have a great vision. He has a great ability to attack a pick and roll situation. And I don't know if he's the best passer of this draft. I haven't scouted every single prospect of this draft, but he's a high level passer. He's a player that have a very good vision, and he knows how to use his side. He knows how to use his body. He can find angles. He can find their teammates. He can finish well at the basket. And with that, he's able to create advantages for him and for the others. And he really has that ability in him. He is a real playmaker and a player that's, despite being a big guard, he can lead a team and he can control the pace of a game.
I'm completely on board with you on that. I think the way that he just navigates the pick and roll, understand coverages, and really that internal processing is really impressive, especially at his age, playing in such a really one of the higher advanced leagues. And just knowing where the pass should go, knowing how to attack different coverages, I think he really does a good job of that. One small doubt I did see on his passing, though, and I'm wondering if you are seeing this too, is that I feel like when he did drive into the paint, and we'll touch on his driving ability later, I think it's really impressive, but when he did drive, I felt he kind of tunneled in a little bit in the paint and didn't necessarily notice dump-offs as well as other players. Are you seeing a bit of that same, or you think I may be over-indexing on that just maybe to hedge a little bit against this otherworldly passing, it seems?
I think that I wouldn't say that his passing is otherworldly. Like
that's probably a little bit of an overstatement there for me. That's fair.
That will probably be a bit too much. I don't think it's that good, but it is good. It is solid. It's not a Doncic type of passing. It's not that type of player. It will be a very light version of that. It's easy to try to make those comparisons. The thing with Topic for me, and in regards to what you are speaking right now, is the sample size that we have on him. We have seen flashes of his ability to do things, and we have seen him doing it a somewhat consistent way, but we have a limited sample on him. There are questions with his passing, his shooting, but we for sure will get into that. But I'm just guessing, but I'm assuming that we will. But have you seen Misic playing in the NBA? And I bet that you have seen Dragic playing in the NBA. I believe that his outcome as a passer, as a playmaker, is something in between those two players. None of them is likely an elite playmaker. Misic is maybe a better playmaker. Dragic is probably a better overall player, a better driver, a stronger player, and that has a higher ability to do that. Those are two very high-level players. Maybe not for NBA standards of being a top 20 NBA player, but they are two high-level basketball players, two high-level guards. And I'm not saying that Topic will be all of that. That's kind of, for me, his best NBA outcome that he can have. And just going a bit back, and in terms of his passing, I think that's his level of ability. So he does have some limitations. So he's not perfect, but he has a good handle on things and he's able to explore the court and try to create advantages. He has still things that he can polish, as you were mentioning right now.
So it sounds like with those names that you said, comparisons, comparing Topic to Dragic and Misic, it sounds like more a very high-level functioning passer, but not necessarily one that's, what's the right phrasing here, really passing guys open, I guess. I mean, not that he doesn't identify players on cuts, but it's more identifying where the holes are rather than almost creating those windows. Is that kind of a fair summary?
I wouldn't say so. To a point, I understand what you are saying, but he has the ability to, the way that he's able to attack a pick and roll, the way that he's able to drive to the basket, he will look to bring in the help defense and generate that easy pass. He is not as polished as doing it as often as maybe he could do with his driving ability and his ability to finish at the basket and that attracting help defense often. But it's something that he needs to polish, but he's still very young and he keeps taking steps to improve all across his game. And I wouldn't say that it's entirely accurate that he's not at a good level on that front, but it's something that he can polish for sure.
Right, that all makes sense. And just to say some numbers here, across his EuroLeague and Mega stats, so this is probably about a 15-game sample. That's mainly Mega. I believe it's only a handful of games at the EuroLeague level. He's averaging about 7 assists in roughly 33 minutes per game. Obviously, for Fantasy and Dynasty, we love seeing those high assist totals. And it does pair with a lot of his on-ball usage. Now, you mentioned his ability to drive to the rim. And I definitely want to get into that because I think that's, I know a lot of draft experts are talking about that, and I almost feel like it's getting undersold a little bit of how well he does navigate the paint with his footwork and his euro steps. How well do you think his interior driving ability and scoring ability is at this point?
He's up there with most prospects that you will have that are playing in Europe right now. He's one of the best, if not the best, from all the European prospects that we will have going into this draft. The way that he plays, and it also in regards to the numbers that you are pointing out, he plays in very different leagues than he had during this season. He was thrown at different sceneries, and the competition that he have is not exactly the same level of competition that he has on the NBA. Not as much in the sense of the level of the players. Obviously, it wouldn't be the same level of players, but the type of game that is played. He will be able to be a better driver at the NBA level than he is right now. And the reasons for that is rules, size of the court, and the way that the spacing that exists in the NBA versus the spacing that exists at this level. So what we have seen from him in terms of the driver that he is and his ability to use his body to drive, to finish at the basket, to do all those things, are very good indicators for him to be able to do it at the NBA level at a very, very, very high level. And like I said before, not a Luka Doncic, but he has the... He's very young, and he has the... You see, in some players, they have the instinct and they have the ability to read what's happening on the court, and sometimes you are able to slow down. You are able to attack in the right moment, and he will be a player that will be able to explore the moment that the big man needs to move away from the rim. He will be having the right timings to attack the basket. And I don't want to derail us, but you see a player like Anthony Edwards, and Topic is not Anthony Edwards in any way, shape, or form. But you see how his game improved from one season to another. And it comes down to shot selection, and it comes down to be able to understand that sometimes you can be open, but you will have a bigger advantage if you attack in this certain moment. It comes down to timing and to just be able to process the game at a very high level. And while Topic doesn't have the athleticism, doesn't have the skill even of a player like that, he has the timing. And that's why his driving game is so good and so strong.
Yeah, I mean, you could say he doesn't have the speed or even necessarily size at this point to really just barrel in and create what we would call natural separation or advantages. But I think something I've learned over the years is that court control is an athletic ability and footwork is as well. And I think Topic is amazing at that, as you were kind of alluding to. And his understanding of footwork and using his body and core control to either just create that little bit of extra separation, kind of like Luka Doncic. I'm not comparing him to him, but I think we see Luka Doncic be like very methodical and deliberate with his steps to get that little extra space to get that shot off. And I think we see shades of that in Topic's driving game. So just to give some numbers here, you know, 8.3 2-point attempts per game, and he hit 67% of them for Mega, which is, it's going to be a different league. But as you mentioned, that could actually be a positive for him at the NBA level with a little extra spacing. And that's really good. Those driving numbers and finishing at his age is actually really, really strong. So I think that's almost being an underrated aspect of his game, especially for Dynasty, when we like seeing rim attempts that helps your field goal percentage, that helps your points per game. He's averaging about 18 points per game across both the EuroLeague and at Mega. That's pretty strong. I'm liking those numbers.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt you, but when he had the move into the EuroLeague team, because in Europe, we don't have college basketball. It doesn't work the same way. We have like youth teams associated to the big teams, and his rights belonged to a EuroLeague team called Red Star from Serbia, and he was basically loaned to Mega. Mega is a known team for developing prospects. Jokic came from there, and many other good basketball players have been developed there in the last years. And he was loaned to that team, and he was playing at a very high level. And there were several factors for him to move to the EuroLeague team. And one of them was the team was underperforming, and it was like a boost of morale. And it just happens with a sort of a promise that he would be able to start. Usually, players, when they are playing in the EuroLeague, and even this type of prospects, it's very hard for them to show themselves because... Literally, the coaches at the EuroLeague level, they don't care if you are an NBA prospect. They are not trying to raise your stock. And what happened with Topic when he got to the EuroLeague? He kept having that ability. You just mentioned now, and what I had mentioned before about his timing, his ability to control the game. He was starting at the EuroLeague team, playing at a very high level, and he got injured really quickly. But you saw all those flashes. It was there. He was able to do it in high stakes games at the highest level with very good players. And he had that ability going against good rim protectors, going against big wings, athletic wings that were guarding him. And he showed that ability. He has proven that that is part of his game, and that's something that he thrives at doing.
Now, that's awesome to hear that. I mean, as you said, this is a pro league. It's not even a college prospect. It's not even the G League where the attention is sometimes to showcase these players in the win. I mean, sometimes at the college level, we do see coaches will favor upperclassmen instead of freshmen. And it seems like it's a little bit, I mean, it's even probably more of an effect, it sounds like, at the European level where, yeah, these coaches are playing to win. They're not really playing to develop prospects. So the fact that he is given that responsibility and role and meeting those expectations at this young age is just really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked a little bit about his interior scoring game, but we would be doing you a disservice if we didn't talk about his mid-range game and his deep ball shooting, or should we say lack of mid-range game and deep ball shooting? It's
well,
go ahead, Andre.
No, I was just saying, well, there were flashes.
Oh, let's get into that then. That seems to be the common critique, but what are some of those flashes then?
So he has shown at times some ability to do it. It just hasn't been consistent over and over again. And there is something interesting because his recovery from injury, it dragged, and several NBA teams were doing everything that they can to know what was happening there.
And sorry, what was that specific injury? Was it to ankle or foot?
It was a lower body injury. I cannot recall if it was ankle or knee right now. I believe it was ankle, but I'm not 100% sure. We can look it up for sure. But one of the reasons that it was pointed out that they were dragging his recovery and he actually just played, it was somewhat surprising, was because they didn't want to lower his draft stock. And it's exactly because of this point that you just brought up, the consistency of his shooting. At times, you see him being able to do it, but it's extremely inconsistent. And he Topic, he has the right mentality. He's an aggressive player. He's a fearless player. He's a hard worker. So he's working on that aspect of his game. And he's one of those kids that if you have to make a bite, will he be able to have a mid-range game? Will he be able to shoot from deep? Like, you will be having good odds to bite on him because he will put in the work. And that's always a good thing to know about a player. But because of that lack of consistency and the fact that that is not there, despite some flashes here and there, it's not there. He doesn't have it right now. And you have seen what that can do to guards at the NBA level. Sometimes they are not able to stay on the court. And this is one of the things that I love about your work and what you do here on the podcast. Dynasty is, sure, stats translation and all of that, it's very important. This is a game that we play with stats. But if a player is not able to be on the court, there will be no stats to play with. And I think Topic will be able to be on the court. I think he will be able to become a good NBA player. I just mentioned Dragic as a potential outcome, and that was a good NBA player. So I think Topic has an outcome that allows him to be on the court at the NBA level. But there are flashes that there was a decision made that will be worth it to try to hold to those flashes because the game is not there. And there was a fear that that will drive down his draft stock. And because of that, there was some delays on his recovery. And he was already getting very close, and there was reports, comments from his coach and indications that he should be able to be on the court way sooner than what it was. And it had to do with the management of his draft stock, because what I mentioned before, in the EuroLeague, they don't care about the draft stock of a player, but this was about also saving the team. And there was a sort of an agreement about also taking care of the player and his aspirations to be in the NBA.
So a lot to unpack there, but I want to focus first on that injury management. So if you were concerned about, why did he miss so many games? Why did it take him so long to recover? You just got your answer right there. It was more, let's make sure he's not looking bad, basically, in those games, and that he's actually keeping those good stats. So in terms of injury concerns, I mean, obviously, lower body injuries aren't great, but probably not much reason for concern there. Yep. And so that's... I mean, it's not really a big negative. I'm not going to put it in my notes that he's, injury concerns. Nah, that's a little going to be overblown if that's ever mentioned. Getting into a shot, you mentioned the willingness to work at it and to take it. And putting some stats there, he took just under 5 threes per game at a roughly 27% clip. Yeah, that percentage is not great. However, the volume is encouraging. And as you said, he's willing to take it. And I honestly thought he looked pretty comfortable taking it. So the willingness to take it, the recognition when to take it, and that pick and roll of players were dropping on him, and the volume is more encouraging to me. And I think he has enough confidence in that shot that he's telling us he thinks he can be a shooter and thinks he can get to an acceptable level. And with that driving game and his vision, it doesn't need to be a great level. It just needs to be respectable. And as you said, I'm willing to bet that he gets to a respectable point in his threes. Is it going to be something where, you know, we're seeing 2 to 3 threes per game? Maybe, maybe not. That's probably the ceiling, but, you know, 1.5, enough to be respectable and contribute there. I think we'll see that, and that can just open up his entire game.
Yeah, I couldn't be in more agreement with you, and that's really the way that he's trying to improve and to get his game to that level so he can be respectable and he can just maximize the rest of the things that he's very good at.
Exactly. Lastly, with Topic, before we get into kind of a summary of his fantasy game, we've got to touch on his defense a little bit. Now, you mentioned some of the injuries that maybe he was dealing with a little bit lingering here and there, probably not too much, but he's not really a defensive player. I mean, I noticed he had kind of little poor defensive closeouts. He's not the most mobile. Do you have any additional insights on that? Or is basically the whole package is the offense? The defense is, he has some size, but lack of mobility, is that basically the classic story we're seeing here?
Yeah, there is not much more to add to it. It is the case with him. He is a limited defensive player, but he has something that works on his favor. You see it, and I guess it's the third time that I will be comparing him with a player that he shouldn't be compared with, but you see it with Luka at the NBA level. he is not a positive defensive player, but within the team scheme, he can be an average defensive player. He can work within a team scheme. He's clever. He's high IQ. He has a very good vision of the court on both ends of the court. So he's able to be in the right position. He's aware as a defender, but he doesn't have the mobility, the athleticism, the even the instincts to be able to defend, to guard, to be an on-ball guard, to be a stopper defensively. Nothing of those. He can be targeted, but usually with these bigger guards and these bigger players, with the right defensive scheme, he won't be too much of a liability on that end of the floor. Probably in the beginning, all the rookie guards tend to be, but as his career goes, there will be ways to keep him on the court. He won't be, and again, like Misic, like Dragic, they won't be like positive defenders, but they can work within a team concept because his IQ, his vision of the court and knowing how to play the game and how to read the game will give them that floor defensively.
I actually love that you mentioned that. That pretty much matches my notes perfectly. Will he get attacked in isolation at times, and will defenders create advantages, or rather, will attacking offensive players create advantages against him? Yeah, I think that is going to be the case here and there, especially with the quicker guards. But as you said, we see Luka, we've seen James Harden, we see Trae Young this year, who they have a good knowledge of where to be, and if they are putting enough awareness into their off-ball defense, they kind of know where to at least be positional-wise, and that kind of does allow them to get some steals. So for fantasy, he averaged one steal a game, which, it's not great. It's not zero, though. That's fine. That's something there that's helping you. And I think we can see him just, as long as he puts in a little bit of effort defensively in terms of his positioning, he can fit in that team construct, which, you know what? That's fine if you're getting that offensive value that we discussed earlier. So getting into a bit of a summary of Topic, and interrupt me if I'm saying anything that seems a little off here. But, as the primary creator, he just has that inherent understanding of the passing nuances to succeed at the NBA level. And when you pair that with that interior drivability, you can really see where he can be just, you can give him not the keys to the offense, but I guess actually pretty much the keys to the offense, and let him be that primary on-ball offensive engine, which that's one of the most important things in the NBA, with his mastery and understanding of the pick-and-roll game and how to manipulate defenses. And we talked about his solid core control and driving ability. Utilizing his steps 1 and 2 after the gather is just already so advanced to create additional windows. His scoring game does need a little bit of work in that mid-range. We didn't really see him operate there or from deep, but he seems to have enough willingness where, hey, if there's just even a baseline level acceptability, his whole game is going to completely open up on offense. So, and defensively, we just touched on it. He's going to be someone who probably doesn't look good in isolation, but for fantasy, he should do enough of his off-ball positioning and can probably improve enough there given his general size. Any other notes to that, or that seems like a pretty fair summary?
That's a great summary. You did a great job right there. And he's the type of player that he can work at the NBA level, but some lack of athleticism, even with the ability to use his body at such a good level, sometimes it is hard for these players to thrive, to be high-level contributors, to be starters, to be borderline all-stars. Can he have some seasons almost at that level? There is a lot of improvement that is needed. He's not like a done deal. It's not a guarantee that he'll be able to impact the game at that level. He has those skills. He's a hard worker, so the odds are good. That's why he's in conversation to be a top pick on this draft, despite the draft being not as strong as some other drafts, but that's why he's on the mix for that. But there will be steps and there will be improvement that will be needed.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There's definitely reasons to be doubtful of his ultimate upside ceiling, but there's a lot of reasons to believe he will be a very positive contributor on the court. And so just getting to the fantasy summary here, his assists are probably going to be his calling card and his best stat. Those should be very helpful, and the range of how helpful would probably depend on that on-ball usage that we see in his minutes. But with that pairing, you should see strong points and strong assists if he develops fully. We talked about his field goal percentage and his interior scoring ability. Considering his ability to get to the rim, that should actually probably be neutral to slight positive. Just depends on where that outside shooting goes to. we talked about his ability to get to the rack and just throwing out his numbers on his free throw percentages. I think he can play through contact pretty well, average about 4.5 free throws per game, hitting at an 85% clip. That also gives a little bit more reasoning to hopefully that 3-point shooting can develop. But in terms of the efficiency stats, yeah, he should actually probably be a strong free throw percentage addition and probably be helpful in field goal percentage, or at least not hurt you there. Very important from that guard position. Threes, he'll probably get some Disuda attempts, but he's probably not going to be an ultimate positive. Hopefully not a negative, though. We talked about his steals. He shows some potential just for being that kind of off-ball IQ defender. Boards, we didn't touch on it. I mean, he'll get some due to his size, but they're not going to be a huge part of his fantasy game. He's not necessarily an active rebounder, which is fine considering his role on the offensive side. And blocks are also fairly non-existent. Again, that's no surprise with everything we've talked about with him. And lastly, turnovers. I mean, they're going to be there, but he's fairly secure. I mean, we didn't touch on his handle. It's still a work in progress. He can get a little loose at times in traffic, but they're going to be there because he's on ball a lot, and that's a trade-off we're happy to take. So Nikola Topic, potential for top pick in the draft, potentially, but he has a really interesting, probably one of the higher upside players from a fantasy perspective in this draft, just due to that on-ball usage, and that's something that I think every dynasty manager craves on their team. All right, let's get into our next player, and that'll be Zachary Risache. And hopefully I'm saying that right.
You did this very well.
thank you, Andre. So Zachary Risache, 6'9", about 205 pounds, mainly plays that wing/forward role. He'll be a little over 19 years old, and he played in the French League this past season for, let's see if I can get this team right, JL Bourg-en-Bresse. I feel like I butchered that a little. All right, yeah, Andre shaking his head there. All right. He played in the French League, and he's a very interesting prospect, one of those toolsy prospects. And I'll let you take the lead here. How do you feel about his offensive end? We'll touch on that first, but where do you think that is currently?
Okay. I will actually start by picking on something that you mentioned about Topic. You spoke about his creation being what makes Topic special, and the lack of creation of the dribble for Risache is, for me, the reason why I really struggle to see him as a top prospect. He's a great complementary piece. I wouldn't call him a playmaker, but he moves the ball well. He's not a ball hog. He doesn't keep the ball for himself. He's able to move the ball well. He's a good team player. His shooting is probably looks better than it is. At some point, he was shooting close to 50%, like high 40s. I don't think that will hold. I think he's a good shooter. He will be a good 3-and-D player, and I will leave the defense for after. But I think he will be a good 3-and-D player. But I think he's very limited, and I think he's limited. Very limited, maybe it's too harsh. But I think his lack of the dribble creation, he doesn't, not having that ability, for me it's hard to see him as being a high level prospect, but he's a strong player, probably one of the safest players from the players that we will be talking today in terms of working in the NBA. He has the size, he has the length, he has some ability. He shows some flashes at time of being able to blow by guys, some instincts of being somewhat decent cutter at times. My problem with him is, like, while Topic, I was speaking about his mentality and the way that he attacks, and he attacks the game. Heading into the season, one of my biggest concerns with Risache was that sometimes he could be somewhat passive. He has good numbers, but a lot of those numbers, they were coming at times when the games were done. His team was either winning by a lot or losing by a lot. And then he was a bit more attacking the basket. He was like showing himself a bit more. But he can be somewhat passive at times. It got better as the season went, and he showed some improvements, and therefore those flashes here and there of what I'm talking about. But in general, that lack of self-creation, that lack of being able to create for himself, I think is on the way of him being a high-level prospect.
A lot of great insights there. And I think the one thing I got from there, sorry, are you basically saying Reese Shea is a silly season hero, sort of, in those empty minutes?
Not quite. So
I'm joking a little bit. With
that. I know. But actually, it's a good segue, and I will let you go for some insight on him. So basically, he was with the EuroLeague team, and he made a decision to go and play in the Euro Cup. And the reason to do that was to have more minutes. He was already at this age an effective player in the French league. He was facing players like Mike James that played in the NBA, and it's a very good player in terms of creation.
Brooklyn Nets legend, I think, when they were dealing with injuries.
Legend, okay. What is a legend for a quick minute right there? But the reason he did this was to have more minutes. And when he was fighting players like that, even at this age, he was able to use his length, his size. He was guarding players of that level. That is a good offensive player that can create at a very high level. And he was able to be effective. So I do trust him to be a good player. But otherwise, yes.
Yeah, and we'll get into how that relates to fantasy. And I'm probably am going to be higher on him from a real-life perspective versus fantasy for some of those on-ball creation. I think I did see him a little bit more be ambitious with dribble moves, and they're definitely not advanced, and he definitely loses control in traffic, but he did try some stuff that if you see that on a highlight film, you think, oh yeah, if he does that more often, yes, that's awesome. I think it's in his tool chest, and there's some building blocks there, but it's so inconsistent and so infrequent and it's not always effective. So maybe there's like the, 95th percentile outcome where he does just suddenly, I'm going to throw out Kawhi Leonard's development track where he didn't have that and then he showed it. If you're projecting a Kawhi Leonard development for every prospect, they're going to look amazing. I do not recommend doing that. Please do not do that. You're going to go down roads that will not be good for your fantasy team. But yeah, so I mean, I'm not projecting him to be in high on-ball usage guy at all either. Maybe we see a little bit more increase, but it probably will be rough at times in the NBA. And I do want to touch on his shooting as well. You mentioned that he started the season super hot. It was close to 45-50% from deep. And in the past couple of months, it's really tailed down. And I've seen some draft people out there, be like, well, what's the real Reese Shea? And I'm kind of like, okay, let's just look at the whole sample because he's still young. Let's just look at the whole sample at this point. So adding some numbers here, made about 1.4 threes per game. That's on 155 total attempts. And about 42.5% from deep on those attempts, took about 3.4 per game and roughly 22.5 minutes per game. So that volume is indicative of a willing enough shooter, not necessarily a bomber, but I think he showed enough shooting versatility. And I actually did like how he varied his release speeds and timings to adjust for defender, and even actually had some amount of no-dip threes where he just caught the ball pretty much in that shoulder pocket and then just launch it without dipping, which is a tool we see a lot of NBA shooters use. So I actually kind of, I don't know if I'm encouraged by his shooting, but I definitely think it will be versatile enough to be good at the NBA level. Does that seem fair, or does it seem maybe it was more in those silly season minutes?
No, that is absolutely fair. He will shoot at the NBA level. He will be a positive shooter at the NBA level. Will he be hyper elite? Will he be streaky? I don't think he will be streaky. I will think that he will find his consistency. And those flashes that we mentioned, and you mentioned the highlights that you can see from him, it comes from him being working on his game and him being aware that that's what he's lacking. Do I think that he has enough on him to take all the steps to become that high-level prospect, to become a high-level player? I think it's very hard to see that outcome happening. But in terms of him being able to shoot at the NBA level, I feel very confident that he will be able to do it. The motion is good. His ability is good. And I think he's, despite going on a cold streak to end the season, I do think that there is some consistency to the way that he shot, and he will be able to do it at the NBA level in the long run. I think so.
I completely agree on that point, and we'll touch on his defense later, but it's good. We'll get into more details, but the shooting plus the defense, that should give him a good floor for at least minutes, which is, as you said earlier, if you don't play, you're not going to see fantasy production. So I feel pretty confident that he'll at least see good minutes in the NBA, at least in a rotation role. And you touched on some of his connectivity earlier in terms of him moving the ball around. I saw the same thing. I think he makes pretty simple, decisive, maybe not passing reads, but in terms of moving the ball around, he moves it quickly. So the ball doesn't stagnate with him on offense. And we definitely see, especially in the playoffs now, players who the ball stick with and they don't move it quickly enough, you lose that advantage created for others. But Ricochet doesn't do that. He does move that ball around quickly and recognizing how to keep churning the defense. So I actually really like that aspect of his game. It's not going to show up in any fantasy stats, except I guess minutes is kind of that hidden fantasy stat. But I think that's really going to help him actually play at the NBA level, just knowing how to fit in an offense and play smart basketball. I think he does get tunnel vision when he drives. I don't think we're going to see any high assists from him. But go ahead.
No, it's the tunnel vision comes from it being mechanic. He is trying to add it to his game, so he's working on it. But you know that when you are starting to develop a skill, you are not able to use all of your skills. Some players, and we can go back to Topic, he knows the angles. He knows how to pace himself. He knows how to time his drives. He knows how to deliver the assists. Even if he needs to polish himself on that. With Zachary, he's just trying to do it. It's something that he needs to do it. And now it's the time that he's just trying to develop his skill as much as possible. He's a player that we can see running some guard reps at the Summer League, for example, just to try to develop that part of his game. He's at that level. He's at that stage. And they, whoever drafts him, will try to just give him the best shot at develop his game as much as possible. With him, for me, it's very interesting, and it's a question that we have many times in drafts. You look at the team as, I don't know, from the top of my head, the Pistons, for example. He would be a good fit as a complementary piece. Are you investing a high pick on a player like this that will be a solid complementary piece? I believe that if you believe that the floor is high enough and he'll be a good starter, a high-level starter, even if he's not a star, I guess it can make sense if you feel that you are kind of at the end of your build, of your roster. But when you compare Zachary to a player like Bozelis, for example. Right now, I believe that Zachary draft stock probably is higher than Bozelis, but Bozelis' upside instincts, even on the defensive end as well, I think the upside is greater there. So which type of player are you aiming at? You want safety? I think Zachary will work at the NBA level. I think he will be a good NBA player, but I don't know if the upside is there.
Yeah, I think that's where I align. You know that upside it's there, but it's, you know, maybe a small sliver of the pie. And yeah, can you get there? Yeah, if you're projecting it, though. Yeah, we've said that, I think, multiple times about Ricochet now, that don't be factoring in the upside if you're drafting him, because it's just probably too unlikely a chance where his building blocks and inherent level of understanding of the game is today. Let's get into his defense a little bit, though, and that's definitely where his calling card along with his shooting is going to be, and that will give him minutes in the NBA. I thought he showed insane level of understanding rotation, not insane level, a really good understanding of where to rotate, how to rotate, helping from the weak side, helping almost provide some supplemental rim protection, not, you know, great rim protection, but at least being there, contesting the shot, and just really being a good part of a scheme. Are you seeing something more than that? Can he be maybe a havoc creator, or is he just more of a piece of a good defense?
I do wonder if he has in him to be a very high-level defensive playmaker. Again, I don't want to sound too low on him, because I do think he has a high floor. I do think he's a player that will work in the NBA 11, has a skill set and the size and the length that NBA teams look for and that work in the NBA right now. Now, about him being able to be a disruptor, to be a game changer, it comes to my concerns come to what I spoke about in the offensive side. He can be passive at times. So he's a player that will execute, but he doesn't have that mentality, that aggressiveness to him at times. And that can get in the way of him being able to be a disruptor like that.
I think it's a really good point. I think we see plenty of players who are really good in their role, really good defensively, but sometimes it's more stout and not that havoc creation. And when we're talking about fantasy and dynasty, I mean, yeah, those players are going to get minutes, but we'd almost rather them be disruptors and event creators is what I kind of like to call them. And yeah, I think we saw a little bit with that just with his length and jumping passing lanes. In his 23 and a half minutes per game, he averaged a little under one steal per game, which is fine, but it's not glaring and standing out as, yes, this guy is going to be a steals monster. It's, well, maybe it comes because he just has that length and size, but I think you put it in a good way. He's more passive. He's more one of those more passive defenders. Remember, I listened to a soccer podcast and they talked about I'm going to probably go on a little bit of a tangent here, but they talked about defenders either being dogs or cats, and cat defenders stay a little bit back, wait for the game to come to them before either making their move, or they more are denying or blocking off opportunities, where dog defenders attack and disrupt and create havoc. And Risa Shea was more of a cat defender to me, which is great, which is still good. That's still very valuable. But yeah, for fantasy, I don't think it's going to necessarily lead to great defensive numbers.
Yeah, and just adding to that, defense is not measured in steals and blocks. It's part of it, but sometimes you can have great defensive players because of positioning, because of usage of their length to be able to, and he has good mobility, and that's why he's able to guard players and smaller players, and the usage of that length to be able to limit those players to be able to get to their spots to contest their shots is one of his advantages. It doesn't translate as much in steals and blocks at a very high level, but it makes him a good defender. And I believe that he will be a good defender at the NBA level, and his ability to shoot will buy him those minutes that we were talking about, but maybe won't have the most appealing stat set unless he's like really upping his three-point volume. That would be probably a way, and I know that you will get to that after, but that will probably be a way that he adds to his fantasy value.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty much Risa Shea. We'll get into the summary now of Zachary Risa Shea here. And we said he has a lot of appealing building blocks for an NBA team, but they don't always come together fully, partly because of that passive play. And so, his defensive understanding on the court is very evident and very clear. He rotates pretty instinctively. He utilizes length in a variety of ways, whether it's on the weak side rim help or just cutting off passing lanes and denying opportunities. As we said, though, that may or may not translate to steals. Probably not blocks either. It's just that may not be there. And talking about his shooting, I personally love how much variety he shows in his shot form. To believe he will become a threatening enough shooter, maybe not one that you're indexing hard in the scouting report, but he should be very complimentary there, as you were saying. Even if the stats were a bit streaky, I think the full season sample is very encouraging in that regard. I mean, in his on-ball offense, though, he rarely had the ball in his hands on offense to create. And when he did, it just didn't look pretty. He wasn't really creating separation or advantages that much. And while he is working on that aspect of this game, it's a work in progress, and it's not coming from that high of a point. It's a pretty low point on his on-ball offensive game. I mean, there are flashes, but he's not comfortable in traffic, and it would take probably an outlier amount of development to become that on-ball creator. So I think it's pretty fair to say Risa Shea will become that sort of Swiss Army knife player, but that's a player you build with and not necessarily you build around. I mean, you referenced the Pistons and a great complementary fit. Yeah, that'd be great, but it's a complementary fit. And it's almost a player to like, do we put him in our core? Do we not? Because, yeah, he's not necessarily one that's going to, he will help your team win, but maybe not drive your team to be that, playoff contender. So, I mean, his youth and age give some belief in these high upside outcomes, but it's going to require some outlier development. Any other additional notes on that?
No, he has to become the type of player. He has big steps that he needs to take. If you are thinking about it just purely about a player that will be on the court and can provide you some stats in the draft that is not that good, he's safe in that sense, because he has all of that skill set that should allow him to be there. But in terms of that high-end outcome, it's hard for me to see it with him.
Yeah. So it sounds like we both like him in terms of, where he'll go in the NBA draft because of his on-court, the help that he can give a team on that floor. But for fantasy, we don't know where he's going to get drafted, but wherever he gets drafted, I'm pretty sure on my fantasy board, at least, he's going to be lower than his actual draft slot. So he might get drafted in mid-lottery 7 to 8 range. He's probably going to be lower for me when I go through my fantasy rookie rankings. talking about his fantasy impact, I mean, we talked about his threes, probably decent to solid in threes, probably going to depend a little bit on the volume he can get, but should at least be able to be a decent contributor there. He'll chip in some steals and boards. We didn't talk too much about his boarding. I personally didn't see huge effort levels there, but maybe that's a size as he gets a little bit, you know, he's young, still developing. Maybe as that gets a little improved, we see the boards be a little bit there, but he'll at least chip in steals and boards. Probably not a huge impactful player there. He probably won't have enough volume to matter for your efficiency, but he'll be passable in field goal percentage and free three percentage. If that volume of threes ends up being a major portion of his game, though, he'll probably just inherently hurt true and focal percentage, as most of these three-point players tend to do. Because we talked about his lack of usage and on-ball game, he's probably not going to... I'd be very skeptical if he ever helps you positively in points. But hey, at least it's going to help you in turnovers, because he's not going to have too much in his hands. The blocks could get there with his... brimside his instincts in rotating, but again, shouldn't be a huge part of his game. And the assist, unlikely to be a huge factor. Maybe he gets to that 2 to 3 per game mark just because he does have that good connectivity, but he's not going to be that on-ball engine. So for fantasy, I mean, safe floor in terms of minutes, but the high upside outcomes aren't going to be here for Zachary Risacher. Okay, we talked about probably two of the biggest European prospects, so we're going to go a little bit deeper down draft boards now. First player we're going to talk about is Tijane Salloon. I hope I got that one right.
You did a good job.
Thank you. I try. He's also about 6'9", 205 pounds, and he's a wing. Draft age will be a little under 19 when he enters the draft, and he played for... All right, let me see if I don't butcher this team name. Cholet Basket?
Yep.
Control that basket. That and he's an interesting prospect, but one who's just, I think, all projection at this point. I mean, his size is the first thing that sticks out when watching him. Just he looks, I mean, even though he's only listed at 6'9", his wingspan was very evident in how this long and big he looked on the court. Would you say that's really his most appealing aspect of his game right now?
That and his ability to shoot the ball. Like, that combination is what makes him an intriguing prospect. And all of those things are things that we will need to find out if they are really there or not. It doesn't get much... he's raw as it gets. It will be... It's a project. There are intriguing tools with him, but it will depend a lot the team that he ends up with. Do I expect him to be impactful in the NBA? I don't really expect that. Can he stick around? He has the flashes of being able to be a pick and pop and a pick and roll player. He will end up as being a power forward at the NBA level. He maybe can develop into being a positive defender and being able to with that stick around. But I do not expect him to be a high impact player in the long run. But it's that combination of size, length, shooting, and some flashes that make him an interesting prospect. But it will really depend on the team he ends up with and the develop curve that he has in the first seasons.
I think you said it pretty well. I mean, at this point, it's all flashes pretty much. And I don't love comparing prospects or, you know, comparing names, but he almost, in terms of fantasy, almost like a lesser version of Risacher, who we just talked about. Okay, maybe he tips in some threes and other stats, but what's the ultimate upside here? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying, I was telling him, I'm getting into some Salloon tape, and then he jokingly said, oh, let me know if he's the next Seko Dumboya, if you remember him from a couple years ago. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I see that as this, oh, you see it, NBA body, NBA size, NBA length and wingspan. But what are the tools? What are the building blocks here? It's kind of almost a hope and a prayer if it happens. I didn't even have too much positive in terms of his skill set. I mean, I thought his feet shifted fairly quickly. He has the athletic tools. You see his length and wingspan. And, you know, he tries to rotate. He's a little overzealous. He's still learning the NBA game. I guess the game of basketball, not the NBA game yet. And so, I mean, he generally tries hard, good energy, but it's still a little misguided for now. Is misguided? Do you think that's a fair word to describe a lot of his game right now?
yeah, his role, he's lost at times, he's learning it, he's improving, he's getting to the game is too fast for him at times. There are, because of his physical ability and his skill, there are scenarios where he could be an impactful player. There are scenarios where some defensive stats could come in. And sometimes we see with these players that are kind of learning the pace of the game, they can be more likely to provide defensive stats than a player that is actually very in tune with it and knows where to be, because he will try to overcompensate, overhelp, over, and that can lead to blocks, to steals. But what you say so well is, like, he needs to be on the court, and probably, unless he ends up on a tanking team, maybe on a tanking team, he can be interesting at some point during a season. Now, does he have enough to develop into an impactful player, into a rotation player even? I don't know. It's really, the development curve will say a lot. There is some intrigue because physical ability combined with shot and some size is intriguing for the NBA, especially right now. But it's somewhat of a long path for him, I believe.
So on that note, I mean, right now I think he's projected to be kind of a late, maybe, I don't think he's going to approach a lottery, but more that mid to late first round pick. Do you think, obviously, I know you don't know the full draft board yet. We're still working through that. But do you even think he could be a candidate to be stashed? Or no, he's definitely coming over this year and maybe spend some time in the G League more than the NBA roster?
I try to learn as you invited me to come here. And I do follow these players because I follow European basketball and I follow these players from young ages. I'm not a draft expert. I don't study them for draft purposes. And I try to stay connected and to learn as much as possible about what are the plans for each one of them. And all the indications is that he is going to the NBA, but very likely will end up in a G League scenario and getting ripped there. It's not very likely that he would be stashed.
Okay, that was my inkling as well, but it's good to hear that confirmation that, you know, if you do draft him for your fantasy team, at least he'll have an opportunity to produce something. It may not be great early on, but it's something. And so, I mean, getting to the summary, we've kind of touched on it a little bit with him, but basically just a very raw, toolsy prospect, has some shooting flashes, and that's probably his most, that pair of his length is probably his most encouraging path to minutes. However, he just needs to learn, he just needs to adapt a lot to the NBA game. Just knowing where to be, knowing how to rotate and his connectivity, he doesn't have that level of just even rotation level polish right now. So if he does see the court, as you said, it's probably in a tanking setting where it's minutes that don't really matter in terms of winning, but would be important for his development.
And will be important for our fantasy teams in the silly season.
Yes. But, and then talking about the fantasy note, so he's still a lot of projections right now, but I think what's important to note with Saloon is that his timeline for actually producing for your team. So as you said, he's going to come over, but will probably be in a G League setting. And given his age and youth, I think it's hard to see him even seeing minutes, probably not significant minutes in his first year, unless he's on a really hard tanking team. Like we saw the Wizards bring over Vucevic overseas in the last couple games. I mean, that's probably just, I mean, not that he was more stashed and then brought over later. Saloon will be on the NBA team, but I think it would be a situation like that where he sees minutes his first year. And his second year, I mean, it's up in the air if he sees minutes his second year. It's going to depend on his development and where that's at. So I think if he gets to a point where he's contributing, it's probably not going to be at the earliest year three and year four. So are you willing to wait that long and stash a player like this on your roster? I mean, unless you're, I mean, I'm in some 30-team deep leagues where maybe you have that minor slot available, but I think Saloon's going to be, I think, a hard player to stash for, one, his youth and where you're going to get that immediate production from, which, I mean, we don't care as much about immediate production for rookies, but we still like some production. We don't like them to be a complete negative. And then, two, where is the ultimate upside with him? He's probably going to be worth a stash as a later round pick in your fantasy leagues, but I think it's hard to draft a player like this profile and wait so long for him and invest. I don't even know in a third team league he's going to be worth that first round pick just because of how long you'll be waiting for him to develop. Do you think that's a little harsh, or you think that's just a realistic outlook if we're looking at it from a fantasy perspective?
I think that's a very realistic and more than speaking about Saloom, I just want to say that I admire the effort of playing 30 deep league and all the dynasty game and just stashing all these players and figuring out which ones of them have a better path to work, and with them being able to contribute maybe in 5 years from now, because it comes down to, you look at a player like Pokuševski, for example. It's intriguing. You look at that stat set. It is intriguing. Like, is there a realistic path for him to be able to impact the game and to be on the court enough to help for fantasy? With Saloom, it's kind of the same. Maybe his game is more of a specialist in a way. So sometimes it's easier to do it if you don't have as much an all-round game and your appeal comes because you're a specialist. So maybe you can become an 8-9 man in a rotation. I think that's his high outcome. I don't think it's much higher than that. So I think you have a fair assessment about him.
All right, so Saloom, someone to maybe keep an eye on. Maybe it's a late season waiver wire pickup if your fantasy team's into late season and you're just trying to get some youth, but probably not someone you should be indexing on too hard. The next player I want to touch on, and now we're getting probably into second round prospects at this point, but this next player will be Juan Nunez, and he plays for, he plays out of a German team. Rashio Farmum, is that fairly close? All right. Out of Germany, and he's a Spanish point guard. I believe he's about 19, 20, be about on the cusp of 20 for his draft age. And I haven't been able to do so much deep scouting on some of these second round guys, but what I have read and seen is that he has great passing flashes and steals. So I'm actually questioning, why isn't he higher? That seems like a player that could in this draft maybe even get into that first round. Is there any other insights into his game besides his passing flashes and perimeter defense?
So last season, he could have declared for the draft in 2023, and he chose to wait and keep developing his game over here. He got a chance to go play in a team where he would have a bigger role, and he's a very good basketball player. Juan Nunez is a very, very good basketball player. The vision is there, of course, but his ability to be a floor general, his ability to read the game, to be a high-level pick-and-roll player, to be a decision-maker on the court. He's a high-level basketball player, but he lacks the athleticism. He lacks the physicality, and he's fearless. He will attack the basket, but he will struggle to attack the basket against NBA athletes. He will struggle with a team in the NBA that is switching and have lengthy wings defending him. So he's a very intriguing prospect, and he's a very, very high-level player. But for me, the highest outcome for him is him being a very good backup point guard at the NBA that can come off the bench, can impact the game. And sometimes he's the type of player that he will look great. He will end a game with 12 points and 9 assists in 26 minutes, and we'll be like, oh, this is good. And he's clever. He's very, again, high IQ player, and he knows where to be. He knows where to position himself, and that's what leads to those steals. He's good to pick up the pace, to lead a fast break, to steal the ball, and to run the floor. He's aggressive on the rebound. Even if he's not an elite rebounder, he's aggressive on that aspect, and he knows how to play the game, and his vision and his... even his ball handling, he's ahead of a player like Topic, for example, in those aspects of the game. But he doesn't have those other aspects, and he will be a player that if he had to lead a team in the playoffs, he will be targeted basically every single possession. And it's hard to see him being an elite player at the NBA level, but a high-level point guard, backup, for sure, at the very least.
I love hearing all that, because there's a dream of, in your second round of your fantasy rookie drafts, you draft the next Jokic, you draft the next Antetokounmpo. And yeah, Juan Nunez clearly isn't going to be that level of player. But really, in your second round, if you just get a player you can start here and there, or a high-level rotation player, that's already a really strong win from the second round of your drafts. I guess second round of a 30 team, obviously, second round of a 20 team. Even second round of a 20 team, though, that's still a positive. You're still getting a surplus value on that draft pick. So I think it sounds like Juan Nunez could be potentially that sort of player that, you know, yeah, he's not going to have this 1% or this 99 percentile outcome, which is superstar, but seems like he has a pretty decent floor, and for contributing to fantasy, hey, assists and steals, those are pretty nice, especially in deeper leagues. So I think he's sounding like a player that I want to do a little bit more reading and scouting on, and just see, can he be a little bit of a nice little sleeper in later round rookie drafts.
And you were able to see it in the FIBA World Cup last year. I know it's a different game from the NBA, but because of injuries, he needed to step up as a teenager, and he just showed that he is polished. We spoke about Topic needing to be polished in some aspects of his game. Juan Nunez is all of that already. He just lacks some physicality, athleticism, and defensive ability to be able to thrive at the highest level. But he's polished, and he's a very high-level player.
That's a really important insight. I think that doing it at that level of competition gives you a little more belief that even if that athletic upside isn't there, that he can still compete hard. And I think his measurables, I think he's 6'4", a little under 200. So it's not even that he's... I hope I have that right. I believe I do.
I think he's 6'3", 6'4", yeah. So you do.
So it's not that he's not like even that undersized. It's just, as you said, the lack of the higher end athleticism and mobility in that regard. But sounds like an intriguing later round rookie that you might want to earmark as someone who, if you want to be confident of someone who can produce, Juan Nunez could be your guy. Let's move into the next player, Melvin. I know we talked about pronunciation earlier. Melvin Ajinsa.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep, played for San Quentin out of France, and seemed like he has some good size, some interesting shooting numbers, but can he be anything else?
He's as aggressive as it gets. He will take all the shots that are available for him. The French youth programs, they have been very good, and they have been producing a lot of very good, especially wing players. And he was the leading scorer for a very good under-19 French team in the World Cup. And he's just not as talented as some of the top prospects that we have spoken about so far. But his size, his ability to shoot, and I think that should give him a chance to come in. And it just will come down for him to find ways to impact the game at a very high level. A thing that for me works in his favor is that aggressivity that I was mentioning, it comes from his mentality. He's like, he has a great mentality, great work ethic. Everybody that I've spoke that has worked with him spoke very highly of him. So he has that going on his favor. But he does like that he's not Polish. He doesn't have the top talent as other players do. His three-point shooting numbers give me some hope of him being able to develop into something more. It will just, can he become one of those players that they have interesting offensive numbers, but then they thrive as a high-level defender at some level, and that's the way that they find a way to impact the game. I can see that path for him. He has a very good mentality, so I don't mind a bite on him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't stick around the NBA.
Yeah, so it sounds like he might be, I guess, looking at it from fantasy, maybe a sleeper for minutes and some of that production from threes. Are you getting any other production flashes, or mainly just those points and threes with that aggressive mentality and there's not as much in his game?
Right now, he probably, the way that he plays and the way that the NBA is played, and we speak about that often when we are comparing NBA to European basketball in general, the NBA is very centered in having one or two players creating. So having a player that is very aggressive offensively usually doesn't work as well within that context. And that was why I was mentioning the fact that maybe he's one of those players that comes in and has all of these offensive flashes, but he has the physical ability and he becomes a good defender, and that's the way he buys his minutes on the court. So I don't know if the minutes will be there. I don't know if that will be buying him minutes. I think he ends up being just a project and a player that is interesting, and his mentality and willingness to make things work give me some hope on him. And he has shown at a high level of international competitions the ability of doing it, but it's down the road for him to take all the leaps that he needs to take.
So is he a player that we expect to come over to the NBA or maybe spend one more year in France? He looks like he's you're nodding your head at the first part. Sounds like he's definitely planning on coming over.
Yes, the idea is for him to go and play in the NBA. And an interesting thing with this type of wings is that the NBA game suits them better than the European game. And because of that, developing a player like this at the NBA level tends to be more beneficial for them than to keep them stashed here in Europe.
Well, that's good to hear. It sounds like he's maybe someone to bookmark on your waiver wire and then see when those minutes, if they do start coming, then maybe you pounce on him and see where that production goes. Forgot to ask this question with Juan Nunez. Is he also someone who's looking to come over this year?
He has a shot at being a stash. I believe that he can be a stash. It will really depend who drafts him. I believe that he will be one of those players. And we saw, for example, Misic that just went now in this later stage of his career, but also with Bogdan Bogdanovic that stayed here for a long time. They will go to the NBA if they will play. If he goes to a team that, let's say, the Wizards draft him and he can be, at the very least, the backup point guard for the Wizards, then I can see him going and playing the NBA because he will have a shot at getting minutes. But I don't see Juan Nunez going to the NBA to be in the G League being developed. I would believe that in a situation like that, he would be stashed. I can see him like the Spurs, for example, if they have a pick that they can select him and stashing him as a potential guard to bring in the future. I could see that happening. Or I just believe that he would go if he will have a shot at playing.
That's some good insight. So it sounds like Juan Nunez really tracked that drafting spot and what the news is coming out, if he's coming over or not. With Melvin Ejinsa, probably come over, but when he sees those minutes, sounds like it's anyone's question. All right, let's move into Nikola Jurišić, who also played for Mega, I believe.
Correct. He did play for Mega.
And he's kind of seems like a bit older of a draft prospect and a bigger guard kind of type. I believe he was intriguing in the draft last year, but didn't declare. So is there anything here? Just kind of looking over his profile, he seems kind of like an overzealous combo guard who doesn't necessarily excel at anything too great. Is that kind of on the mark?
Kind of. He was highly regarded. He had some injuries that got on the way and got on the way of him having declared to the draft earlier. And his draft stock was very high at some point because he's a very good connector. He has good size. He has good vision. He can play. He's a versatile player that he can do many things, and he can impact the game at a very good level. There was a game between Mega, because he played with Topic in Mega, and then later after Topic moved to Red Star, he played against Red Star, and Jurišić really looked great on that game. He performed very well. He has the ability of being a high-level player. I don't think he has the athleticism and the mobility to thrive at the NBA level. He's a good player. I think he has the skill set to be a good player, part because of the injuries, part because of just his physical profile. I think that athleticism is what's on his way of becoming a better player, because his vision, his versatility, his way to play the game. He's a highly skilled player, but his draft stock really has been dropping, and he wasn't really able to raise it despite having quite of a decent season.
That sounds like kind of the profile of a player that a team might select later with one of their second round picks and maybe then stash and just see, does he end up doing something more and keep developing in the European League? Does that seem fair to say then?
Yeah, he's Adam Hanga.
I do not recognize that name.
Adam Hanga, he has a very good EuroLeague career, and he was selected and stashed by the San Antonio Spurs at the time, exactly for the reasons that you just described. It just never panned out, and he never took the leap to the NBA.
Yeah, well, on that note, it sounds like for fantasy, probably someone that you probably have better options in your rookie drafts and just know about the name, but know the name Jurišić, but understand probably not someone who's going to make an impact at the dynasty level. Now, we talked about a lot of players here. We've been going on, I think, a little more than an hour here. Are there any other names or sleepers that we should be aware of from the European scene?
Quickly, you have a player like Naji that is not a rookie. He's a player, I think his rights belong to the Hornets. proceeded that now is with the Beast, with the Jazz. He went in the trade, the Fontaike trade to the Jazz. Those are players that have been developing their game. With Naji, he just keeps improving. He's a player that fulfills a role. He's not a player that will develop his game into becoming a star, but he's able to fulfill a role. The center position in NBA is tricky, and if you compare Naji to a player like Kamagate, for example, Naji has a way better shot at making it because of his mobility. That's what makes him special. Kamagate is a big body, is a player. He had a short stint in the EuroLeague this year, and he just wasn't able to thrive. I don't want to talk down on him because I know that his stat translations sound great for fantasy. I just don't see him being able to impact the game. Can he be a backup center, a third string center? Sure, he can. It's fine, but it's just a very replaceable player. Naji has the mobility going on his direction. He's able to switch, and that is an advantage that a player like Kamagate doesn't have. And I can see Naji taking the leap, and he was a stash this year, but there was talk about him sticking around the NBA last season, and there is talk of him going to the NBA after this season here in Europe. And if that happens, he has a good shot at being a somewhat good producer with rebounds, excellent field goal, and also block shot ability.
Yeah, and I definitely liked his profile. And for a center of his size, I thought, as you said, he showed good mobility and showed like he could live at the NBA level and not be, you know, one of those centers who's just gets played off the court. I think he did show that mobility, but I think there's a little bit of a blockage with the Hornets now. With you have Mark Williams, who has dealt with back injuries, sadly, but he's there looking like has shown good flashes, and Nick Richards, who has been a very serviceable backup big, I think one of the better backup bigs, in my opinion, in the league. So even if Naji comes over, I do question if that playing time will be there. Maybe not. I mean, not even this season, for the season after, just because of those contracts on the books right now.
For me, it comes down to the Hornets' strategy, and now I don't want to keep us long, but I can see a scenario that they would bring a player like Naji, and the reason for them to stash him was exactly because of that logjam of players in the center position there. But I can see them trading Nick Richards and bringing a player like Naji to be their backup.
No, that's definitely fair. And so maybe he's someone who I guess kind of starting to drop a little bit. And I mean, you just have to without a year of zero production. But maybe I might keep him where he is now because of those insights. And yeah, you're right. Richards could be a tradable contract. And if he does get moved and Naji comes over, well, then suddenly there is a very clear opportunity for him to produce. You touch about Gabriel Prashida, who came when his rights were held by the Raptors, I believe, and yes, did come over to the Fontecchio trade to the Utah Jazz. Do you think he has a chance to come over and probably at least play in summer league, but maybe stick around on the NBA roster?
I don't know if he's already at that level, but I think that will happen sooner or later with him. He keeps progressing. He has an intriguing upside to him, to his physical ability, his length, his size, and mostly the way that he played the game. He's a good wing, and he had his best season so far this year. Like, he played much better than he did before, because before we could see the flashes of upside, but right now it boiled down to the game slowing down for him. You could tell in the way that he was able to impose his game, and he was just consistent. Before, he wasn't consistent, it was about the flashes, and now he has consistency to his game. And one very positive thing that I think that will be what will allow him to take the leap to the NBA, his shooting is coming along. He's becoming a better shooter, and there are some playmaking flashes to him. He's a complete player. He's not as good as a defender as it would be ideal for a wing player, but in the same vein as Fontaike being thriving at the NBA level, he can be a higher upside player than Fontaike because of he is able to do more things on the court. But for me, for him to buy his way into the NBA will be his shooting continue to improve, and he's showing some good flashes on that direction.
That sounds very promising. I mean, depending on your size of your league, I mean, from even in my 30 teams, I don't think he's rostered anywhere, so now this might be my worst kept secret that I might be picking him up for some of my other players who don't have upside or are aging out. I might try to get him in the offseason, just add him to the roster and see what happens there. Are there any other names we should watch for? That's pretty much the list at this point. We've gone through a lot of names and a lot of today.
True. These are the top names. There are some players that are interesting. Bobby Miller is an interesting player. It's hard to see him taking all the development needed, and just his free throw shooting is terrible. But how I had on the European Hoops podcast, I had Rafael Barlow coming, and he said that Bobby has the tools to be a Giannis light. And it's that type of player. So he's just someone to keep an eye on in case he develops and he becomes something interesting. Then I will just have a quick shout out here to Ruben Prey because he's Portuguese. I'm from Portugal. And he's probably the best rebounder, or at least the best European rebounder of this rookie class. He has a game that translates very well into the NBA. He lacks physicality and he struggles with contact. If he's able to improve on that aspect of the game, he can be a player that can thrive at the NBA level. It's just a player to keep an eye on. And it's a player that is on the radar of NBA teams and can be brought either this draft or on the following one. And just a player that can be interesting. And the last one from the top of my head is Bobby Klintman, that he was talked up late on the last draft season. He ended up withdrawing from the draft. He went to Australia. Things didn't went that well from him. The hopes I have from him don't come from any of that. It comes from seeing him with the Swedish national team and just the flashes of playmaking that he showed at that level. I like to compare him with Kyle Anderson, with some ability to shoot and can be a player that can thrive like that. He's not nowhere close of the ball handler that Kyle Anderson is. Kyle Anderson has that going for him. Klintman doesn't have that, but he can work. He has the tools to make it work. His hips might be a bit stiff. His footwork might not be the best one for him to thrive at guarding, but he has good weak side helping instincts. He has some things going for him, and it can work for him, and he's a player that can be interesting or can develop into something interesting, but I'm not too high on him. And in terms of future prospects, there are players like Hugo Gonzalez, a Spanish guard that should declare for the 2025 draft, and Hassan Yang, a Chinese center that is for me one of the most interesting prospects for the future because of his playmaking ability. He's 7'1". He doesn't move enough. He doesn't have enough speed to be a player like Wemby. Well, there are not many like that one, but these are some of the interesting names around the world to keep an eye on.
I mean, you just heard it here first. We have the next Wemby in the league.
We do not.
But no, so those names again were Bobby Miller, Bobby Klintman, and what was the middle one? I want to make sure I get that right.
Ruben Prey. Yep.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, it sounds like names to keep an eye on, see where they land. Maybe keep an eye on. Just bookmark on your waiver wires, and if they do start producing some tantalizing flashes, be that first manager to jump on them. But I think that does it for today. Went through a lot of prospects, went through those high-level prospects and some deeper league stashes, which are always important in our dynasty leagues. It's always fun to identify those players. You hold them for a couple years, and then they break out, and you look like an absolute genius, and that's something I love doing. So I think some of these later-round guys that we discussed, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on. But Andre, if people are more interested in listening to about the European League, where can they find your work?
European Hoops Podcast. That's our European podcast here at Sports Ethos. And we cover both the EuroLeague mostly. We have plans to start covering also EuroLeague Women. And for whoever are American basketball fans, the WNBA players usually make the transition and go play in their offseason at the EuroLeague level. And we also will be covering the Olympic Games that are about to start. United States has a great team going to those games. It will be very interesting. And that's the best place to listen to all of our insights on the European basketball.
So if you're interested in learning more about the European League and European hoops, Andre is your man. They do great work on that pod. But thank you for coming on, and thank you for discussing all these prospects. For our other writings that we're doing over at Sports Ethos, we're releasing our Dynasty Team Series, reviewing every team and every player from Victor Wembanyama, even down to lower tier players such as Jontay Porter, who I'm willing to bet won't be in the league much longer, if at all. But you can see those series. Subscribe to the, get the NBA Fantasy Pass. Get all that information. Get ahead of the curve going into the offseason on these dynasty players. Next week, we'll get into some G League prospects. Some of them might have been mentioned on this draft. I'm excited to dive into those. Andre, any last words?
Thank you so much for having me and continue the great work that you are doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming on. With that said, we'll see you next time.